It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you and happy Preparation Day. This is Pastor Shalom Flemons with my dear wife, Sister Maria, and we wish you guys richest blessings today, and it's time now for us to begin. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we also have a special announcement that we need to make, so we will share that in just a moment.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. Thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night, and now we ask for your spirit to come and abide with us as we open up your word. We pray that you would anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and bless us by helping us to grow in grace and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for our opening song. Let me just go ahead and play the opening song, then we'll just wait for others to come on and make the announcement. All at one time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
Our topic today is the Old Covenant. Before we get involved in that and have prayer, I want to make an announcement. We have to travel this weekend, leaving out this morning, so our broadcast will not include a wellness segment today. We're traveling for a very important mission, and I'll have to share with you later what that mission is, but it's a witnessing mission. I'll say it that way. And because of that, where we will be staying, where we will be, it's just everything's kind of unsure. And so I am going to just resume worship and wellness broadcast on Tuesday. So basically we're saying that today is Friday. We will not have any broadcast on Sabbath, Sunday, or Monday. That includes church service. But we will resume on Tuesday. We get back, we fly back on Monday, and everything should be, I believe we'll have a testimony when we get back, and I believe we will be back at that point. So because of the travels, because of where we're staying, you know, you can't always everywhere, usually when we travel, we're in a hotel, and it doesn't matter because it's just us in the hotel. But sometimes when you go and you're not staying at a hotel, you may not be able to always at 6 o'clock in the morning, just do what we do. So in someone else's house. So that, therefore, just to let you know, after this broadcast, we will be back on Tuesday morning. Okay. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin to look at the Old Covenant, reading Deuteronomy 24. Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for all your mercies and kindness. We pray that each one of us will have a new covenant experience and not an old. We pray that we will understand from this simple message the plan of redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, Exodus 24. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Okay, Exodus 24, it says, and he said, let me just do something. I'm going to adjust something here. Hold on. I can do a better job if I read it from another source. All righty. Praise the Lord. All right. Exodus 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. What lesson? We have to look and see what lessons are being taught here. Well, what we must understand, brothers and sisters, is Moses was a symbol of Christ, as also was Aaron when he was doing his priestly duty as the high priest. But Moses was also a symbol of Christ. And so God is showing us that he and the Father and the Son, they have close communion together. But God is with us all, so the Holy Spirit would be with the people, okay? But it also teaches us a lesson that each one of us is a Moses. Each one of us needs to come into the most holy place experience. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the what? Secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And so we need to go to the Lord in prayer and communion and commitment and reading his word and submitting to what it says because it's best for us. God doesn't tell us anything that's not best for us. He doesn't tell us anything that takes away happiness. What he says brings happiness. We just have worldliness in us because we've hung on with the devil for so long that it's like pulling against the selfishness of our heart to do that which the Lord has asked us to do. But in the end, my brothers and sisters, you will be happy. And so I just want to share that with you as Moses went up high. Another point that a lot of people may not realize is that everybody can be saved. But even among the saved, some people They just were closer. And you see that in the life of Christ. John laid in his bosom. You know, he was closer than anybody. But then besides that, Peter, James, and John were closer than the other disciples, okay? Somebody's trying to call. Let me just, how do I do this? We're closer than the other disciples. And then you have the 12 disciples that were closer than the other disciples. You have the 12 apostles because there were more disciples. The 12 apostles were closer to Christ than the apostles. He loved them all, just that different ones were closer to him. They spent more time with him. They took advantage of that closeness and that presence. And so you can be as close to God as you want to be. And you, just because somebody might have greater devotion or maybe spends more time in prayer than you do, you don't have to feel like you're going to be lost. But I just want to say that there is that principle in the Bible that some were closer, they spent more time, and that doesn't mean others were not in a state of surrender. So that's an interesting concept that might people need to realize, okay? All right, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgment. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now, we're talking about the old covenant. A covenant is an agreement. You ever heard of a marriage covenant? It's an agreement. It's an agreement between me, my wife, and God that we will keep our covenant. Will be we will keep God in the center, and where I, in my natural tendencies, might violate a principle that could hurt God or hurt my wife, I will surrender those tendencies. And my wife would be committing that with her tendencies, if what she might do might hurt God, God caused God, her husband, that she would surrender to God. That's a commitment, and God promises to be that third cord, and a threefold cord cannot be broken, brothers and sisters. Easily broken, it says. That's, of course, it can't be broken in the spiritual, but in the physical, it's very hard to break a threefold cord. And so, my friends, we are just letting you know that when they said, see, God is promising to keep them. He's already promised, I'm going to deliver you. So God made his promise, but he said, I need you to be obedient. But when they responded and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, well, they didn't really know God yet. Okay, they didn't understand that by your grace, with your help, Lord, we will do this. They just said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. Okay, now that's nothing wrong with saying that because it's basically a commitment to say, Lord, whatever you say, I will do. But they weren't saying it from a spirit of surrender. They were saying it in my own strength. I'm going to do this. I got this. So I'm supposed to change my diet. Got that. Supposed to watch how I operate, got that. Supposed to be faithful, got that. You know, and so they didn't realize it, but they were entering into a covenant by so doing. That's the old covenant, my friends. The old covenant is making a commitment to serve God in your own strength. That's what the old covenant is. We're going to see a little bit more about that as we look at verse 4. We're in Exodus 24. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the tribes of Israel. Now, it says that Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. I want to use an opportunity to show you that what Moses wrote was separate from what God wrote. God wrote on two tables of stone, and he engraved it with his own finger. Moses wrote a book that contained all the words of the Lord. And we're going to show you that they were not one and the same, and they were kept in two separate places. The book, it says in Deuteronomy 31:26, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. So that was in a side pocket of the ark. Notice Deuteronomy 10:2. Deuteronomy 10:2 says, and I will write on the table, this is God talking, the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. So the two tables of stone were put in the ark. The book of Moses was put in the side of the ark. Two separate documents, my brothers and sisters. And so there you have it. So a lot of people don't realize that. And so some of the things that were nailed to the cross, nothing nailed to the cross was in what God wrote. some things nailed to the cross. The ordinances, the Bible says, that were against us, contrary to us, they were done away with at the cross. Those which Colossians says were a shadow of things to come. Now, you all can see by the shadow of my hand. You can't even see my hand in Facebook, but you can see the shadow of my hand. Now my hand is there, okay? So the ceremonies that pointed forward to Jesus were a shadow of things to come, okay? And then when Jesus came and when he died on Calvary, the devil knew that he had lost the war and he would be finally destroyed. And at that point, God removed the requirement of the feast days. He removed the requirement of animal sacrifices. Those things that pointed forward to some aspect of Christ's work, that was what was done away with. And it had ceremonial Sabbath. And so a lot of people take those verses and they think it applies to the weekly Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath is not shadowy. It's commemorative. A shadow is talking about something. Here it is. A shadow is showing you something that's coming, okay? Commemorative is it's already coming God. The Sabbath of the Lord, the seventh day, reminds us of what God did way back at creation. It says, for in, meaning because in, 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so that is the Sabbath commandment, okay? That's what that's all about. Now, my brothers and sisters, a lot of people mess up and they think, oh, the old covenant is all the law and everything God wrote, and so we don't have to keep that. And so they make it an excuse to sin against God. But yet they never talk about the killing people. And they believe people who kill should be prosecuted and all that kind of thing. That is simply a ploy that theologians of years past, generations past, created to get rid of the obligation to keep the Sabbath because they wanted to follow the Catholic Sabbath, which was Sunday, which was brought in by paganism because they worshiped on the venerable day of the sun, which was the first day of the week. And so they brought that into Christianity. And they changed the day of worship in around 321 A.D. So that's where Sunday worship came in, and we should be keeping the Sabbath, my friends, not Sunday as a day of worship. So that's a sidebar, but I wanted to show you, as Moses wrote all the words of the law, verse 4 says that that was put in a book. Deuteronomy 31:26 says it was put in the side pocket. Deuteronomy 10:2 said that the Ten Commandments was put inside the ark. Just giving you some sidebar. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, verse 5, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And watch this. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, it's repeated, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. Now, a covenant, brothers and sisters, had to be ratified with blood, okay? It had to be ratified. It had to be symbolized or sealed with blood. And so the reason why the new covenant is what we're under is that it's not because that wasn't offered to them. They weren't saved a different way. See, some people teach it's like they were saved a different way. They were saved under the old covenant, but we're saved under the new covenant. No, they created the old covenant by making a promise they did not keep. And you read about it in Hebrews. It talks about it, that they didn't keep the promise. And therefore, the new covenant is based on better promises. It's the promise God will keep us as we surrender to him, okay? They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They were doing it in their own strength. And many of you, brothers and sisters, are trying to live a godly life in your own strength, and you're wondering why you keep falling and failing, and you feel bad about it, and you get up and you keep failing. What you need to do is spend more time with God and beg him and ask him for his help and surrender your life to him. Don't focus on what you can and can't do. Don't say, okay, Lord, I won't do this, I won't do that. Just say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to be your child. I want to be obedient. I cannot do it in my own strength. Will you please help me? I'm rededicating my life to you. He will show you what you ought to do, and he will give you the strength. Just be willing to be obedient, my friends. And don't give the devil ground. You know, we give the devil ground a lot of times, things that we ought not do. We kind of allow in our presence, or we eat certain things, or we drink certain things, or we go certain places, whatever And it just brings us into a situation where we're more easily tempted. Okay, so you should avoid temptation like the plague, friends. It still will find you. Temptation will still come, but let's not invite it. Okay, so that's what we want to understand. But you can have a closer walk with God. Just surrender your heart to Him, my friends. Say, Lord, please take my heart today. I surrender it to you. I want to be saved. I want to know you better. And God will never disappoint you, friends. He will come through for you. All right. Moses took half the blood and put it in the basins. Okay. Let's look at verse 8. And Moses took the blood. See, after they had said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, watch this. Behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. That's Deuteronomy 24:8. That was when the ratification of the old covenant took place. Now, the new covenant is called new because it's the same covenant that God gave Abraham. I don't have time to find the scriptures for you, but if you go back in the early part of Exodus, God told Moses, I remember the covenant that I made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, and because of that, I'm going to deliver my people. Well, the covenant of Abraham is the new covenant. Even the people that don't keep the Sabbath will tell you that God said in the New Testament, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham is the symbol. The covenant with him is the new covenant, my friends. It's the same covenant that is talked about in the New Testament. So the covenant that God gave was a covenant that said, I will bless you. I will save you. I need you to be obedient, but I will do this work in you. The children of Israel came along and in their own strength created a different covenant that said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But that was in their own strength. Okay? So the old covenant is old because it was ratified first. The blood was spilled first. I just read it to you. They spilled the blood. Well, the blood of Jesus wouldn't be spilled for hundreds of years because he wouldn't come until and die until AD 31. So that's why it's called new, because the ratification of the blood happened later. But the new covenant is the only covenant we ever needed. Okay? It's the everlasting covenant. The old covenant is the second covenant that came in. It's called old simply because it was ratified first. But it didn't do away with the new, the Bible says, which was the original, which is the everlasting. So God created the everlasting covenant that always was, ever since sin. He even gave that covenant to Adam and Eve through the message he gave to the serpent, where he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That's how you kill a serpent. Step on his head, or smash his head. Don't step on it unless he's really, really tidy, if he's poisonous, that is. But he will bruise your heel. He's going to affect your walk, okay? He's going to tempt you while you walk. So the point being made is that God is showing us that even in the Garden of Eden, he gave the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the promise of salvation to Adam and Eve. The covenant was repeated to Noah. The covenant was given to Abraham. It was always there long before the children of Israel. When they, after Egyptian slavery, thought they could do it in their own strength, then a different covenant was entered into called the Old Covenant, and very soon after entering into it, they broke it. We're not going to get to that right away, but you know it's the story of the golden calf. They start worshiping Baal and possibly went into orgies and all kind of stuff that the Bible doesn't give us detail on, but they had come out of Egyptian stuff, and there was a lot of false religion. There is often sexual perversion in false religion. Okay, that's just a fact. All right, verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. Okay? Now they didn't see his face. They saw his light by his presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you, If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. So as Moses went to speak with God, he left some people in charge in case there were any challenges in the camp, and left Aaron in charge, and he came and went to the presence of God. You know, brothers and sisters, God does that sometimes because we can sometimes place too much trust. Dependence is a better word. Trust too, but dependence on our leaders. God wants you to have an experience with him. So sometimes he'll take the leader away. Like we have to take 2 or 3 days off of the broadcast. Hey, spend time with God. Don't let your spirituality go. Make it even better. Spend more time with God during this little break, friends. And we'll be back on Tuesday. But God did that with Moses. He took him out of the people's sight, and that gave them an opportunity to certify and strengthen their personal commitment to God. All right. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So, my friends, that's where we will pick it up with Exodus 25 on Tuesday morning by the grace of God. And just let's pray for one another. Definitely pray for us. We are on a mission, a witnessing mission, and there's some information we need to, proof that needs to be put into some people's hands this weekend. And so may the Lord bless you. Please pray for us. And as we travel, we have to fly, and the Lord is good. So by the grace of God, friends, we're going to go ahead and wrap up things at this present time, and because we've got to catch a flight this morning. So we'll go ahead and get ready for our closing prayer. My wife, Andrine Dove, will take us to the throne of grace, and God bless you all today.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message today, and we just ask that your spirit will continue to abide with us throughout this day of preparation as we prepare for your holy Sabbath. Bless every heart in a special way as your spirit leads, guides, directs, and instructs our lives. Help us to be faithful to you and to be an overcomer, so when you return, we will be able to be with you for eternity. Give us the strength we need, the wisdom. Give us the faith. Give us all that we can, Lord, to be with you. For we thank you for being our God, and we look forward to that time when we can spend face-to-face communion with you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Amen. Closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.
I will worship.
bless you all.